Is there anything else that you want to talk about in English, and then I'll just ask you a couple of questions in Spanish? You're welcome to talk about anything.
No, I think we pretty much covered the whole gamut of agriculture, and I think the main concerns that I have are the issues that are related, like I mentioned, to what's organic, what's sustainable, and what's permaculture, as seen through the lenses of the local people and seen through the lenses of the people that move into the area, you know. Because why am I going to pay $800 to go and take a course on permaculture for 4 hours in Santa Fe when I can learn the same from some of the elderly people? And now I'm becoming one of the elderly people. But when I was younger, I used to go and just sit with some of the old mayordomos and just talk, you know, and drink beer and discuss about agriculture and about the acequias. And I learned more from them just by sitting down and carrying on a conversation than I would by attending a permaculture conference by somebody that just learned about permaculture from books, when these people had done it all the time from experience, you know. And I think that if we're going to survive here in northern New Mexico, the people that are coming in, the outsiders that are coming into here, are going to have to establish a dialogue with the local community members, you know. They cannot come in with their set point of view and not want to change anything because they think they know better than we do, because they don't, you know. I think that dialogue has to somehow take place, and it's not taking place. Like, you know, that's one of the critiques I've had, like, all the pioneers, they have wonderful presentations, and even like now, the Taos Organic Conference, I went to it to talk briefly about my book, and the two speakers that I heard were wonderful, yet there was only one Native American and one Indo-Hispano of the whole group. So somehow, it's not connecting. There's no cross-pollination, there's no exchange of ideas, and that's why we end up, I think, in a lot of conflict, you know. It's that misunderstanding that we're not saying, okay, let's meet in the middle ground and start from there, you know. But a lot of these people that are coming from the outside are adamant, it's either done my way or no way at all. And if you're not going to do it my way, then they get mad at you like little kids and start huffing and puffing, and they don't want to talk to you again, you know, and they think that you're their enemy. And it's not that you're an enemy, it's that maybe we have something to teach them if they would be willing to listen. So for me, I think that's where the key lies, you know, and that dialogue, you know. In Spanish we called it the resolana, where people used to gather together in the springs or in the fall, where the sun would hit on the south side of the building or the east side of the building, and people would talk, you know, and exchange ideas. It can be done now through the internet. It can be done like the interviews that you're doing now, you know, through radio, because of the new medias that are available now. But we have to find a way of connecting, because I think both are gonna suffer, you know. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with a misunderstanding of history, you know. That's why it took a little while ago to kind of clarify that it's not that simple, that the Spanish versus the Indians, because the only Spanish that I know are the ones that recently came from Spain. There's very few Indians that could be say that they're pure, because they're all mixed. We have been here for 400 years. We have mixed, you know. We have relatives that are married in the pueblo, we have nephews that are part of the pueblo, you know, and vice versa. So how can, you know, we have to change our attitude and our way of thinking. You know, we're very set in our way of thinking, and we don't open our minds and say, let's look at the new possibility, let's look at what's really happening today, you know. And I also found out that a lot of the people that are moving from the outside also kind of try to put a wedge between us and the Native Americans, you know. I've seen a lot of Anglos say, well, you Spanish did this to the Indians, you know. You know, I say, pardon me, what do you mean we Spanish? In the first place, since the ones that came with Oñate at that time, there were very few that were really truly Peninsular or Castilian. They were very mixed since that time, you know. But we have that mentality that the Spanish were the conquistadores and the English were the pilgrims. Well, if you look at it today, where the pilgrims landed, there are no Indians. Where the conquistadores supposedly landed, the Indians are still living in their ancestral home. So the conquistadores must have been a little bit more humane if you look at history, you know. But I think that's where we have to learn our history and what we're talking about so we don't continue with the same stereotypes, you know, because a lot of us have probably as much Indian blood as the ones that are living in the pueblos. My great-grandmother was an Apache. My grandmother and my father's side was like from Picuris, you know, so. And then when you go into the Iberian Peninsula, there's that mixture of people there that have been going on for thousands. That if you go to northern Spain, to the Basque country, they would never think of themselves. They never think of themselves as Spaniards. They're Basque. Well, the name Arellano came from the Basque country, but they were also Sephardic Jews. So I'm a mixture of Basque, Sephardic Jew, probably also Arab. I feel myself very Arab because of the foods we eat and because of all the words that we use, you know, from azúcar, almohada, barrio, and on, azotea, that have their roots in the Arab country, you know. And then you go to Andalusia, well, they consider themselves all like totally separate also from the Castilians, from the ones in Madrid, in Toledo, that are more the Castellanos. You go to Valencia or to Barcelona, and they're Catalanes. They also want to separate, break away from the Castellanos, you know. So when people say, you know, the Spanish, to me that shows an ignorance of history. Because if they would knew the history of Spain to begin with, they would say, well, you know, they're the Gallegos, the Castellanos, the Vascos, the Catalanes, Andalusias. And then when you get into Mexico, the same thing, you know, the northern Mexico is very different from central Mexico or from southern Mexico. And in New Mexico, the same thing, you know, and I think that's a beauty, you know, that's a beauty of who we are, this mixture of cultures, of bloods, of foods, of seeds, of trees. And that's what, to me, makes us unique here in northern New Mexico, you know. But the schools don't take advantage of that. They don't teach who we are as a diverse people. They don't teach a language. Instead, they make fun of the way we speak Spanish. And that's why a lot of the kids don't want to speak Spanish. And now with all the immigration coming from Mexico, and they have burned our mind that we're Spaniards, then instead of embracing the immigrants as brothers that they are, because everyone from here came from, at one time or another, from some part in Mexico, you know, the Martin Serranos that are really the ones that probably have more relations here, they came from Zacatecas. The Arellanos, they came from Aguascalientes here in 1695. So everybody that claims to be Spaniard, the Stork didn't bring him from Spain and drop him here in the Española Valley or in Santa Fe, you know. They came up the the Camino Real over a period of hundreds of years, and they're still coming up, you know, they're still coming up.
I have to stop. So, I mean, I kind of want to ask you about the myth that, but I think you've explained it really well. Unless you have more.
No, I think about the only thing would be that I think we have to get rid of the stereotypes, you know. We have to really look deeper as to the history of northern New Mexico. You know, I think for a long time we have been in denial of our Arab heritage, you know, and it's very easy to just embrace that we're Spaniards because supposedly they're, you know, Europeans, but without understanding the Spanish history. And I think that has done a lot of damage, you know, and I think that my father never said we were Spaniards, you know, he always said we were Mexicanos. But I think that thing about being Spanish came about in the 1930s with the advent of the Spanish colonial society in Santa Fe, where Frank Applegate and Mary Austin started with that crap about Spanish colonial art. And that hurt our artist also, you know, because our artist for a long time, you know, I've been involved with the Chicano movement since the 60s. And if you wanted to be an artist, you could only do Santos, but you could only be in the same style as the past, you know. Well, as humans, we grow, you know. And then again, if they were really trying to promote that, they would know that probably some of the greatest artists of the 20th century were Spaniards. Picasso, Salvador Dalí, Juan Miró, you know. Now one of the greatest sculptors is Vasco Chillida, you know. And so why is it that in New Mexico they're trying to keep us so pure, so Spaniard type, you know, quote unquote, that we can't grow? You know, we have to, if you're going to do art, you can only do a certain type of artwork. If you're going to if you're going to write, you can only write the folk tales, because you know, that's a bunch of bullshit, you know. And they're trying to do the same thing with our agriculture, and they're trying to suppress us, they're trying to keep us down. You can only do this because that's what you are, you know. You cannot improve your acequias because your acequias are supposed to be maintained in a so-called traditional way that people don't even know what they're talking about, you know. And for me, that's what I've been always fighting, because I'm always for growth and for
progression,
expanding, you know, your horizons and your thinking. And you know, I'm not against learning from somebody that's an English or that's a Russian or that Chinese or whatever culture they come from. You know, I think we can all contribute. But what I don't like is to be put in a little cubicle and said, you got to stay there because that's who you are. And I'm the one who's defining what that cubicle is, you know. And that I don't agree, you know. And that's why I mean we have to break the stereotypes and say, no, I'm totally against any type of stereotypes. And I'm all for finding out who we are, you know, where we come from, where we... And I think this war that we're having in Iraq, just by seeing the faces of the people there from the Middle East, they're the same faces that I see in Chamizal, that I see in Cuesta, that I see in Española, that I see in Embudo, you know, which tells me that they're my brothers, you know, they're my sisters, you know. And when we go fight them over there, you know, the same as with a border patrol, you know, when they send the Chicanos to fight the Mexicans that are coming up to keep them away from that artificial border, that makes me very angry, you know, because this has always been the land of the Mexicanos, and it will always be. You know, it doesn't matter what Lou Dobbs and all those conservatives are saying, you know, Pat Buchanan, they can say whatever they want, but there's no way of stopping the migration. When you're hungry and your stomach is empty and your neighbor has something to eat, you're going to break in there one way or another to get the food to feed your family, you know. And the sooner I think that the American government understands that, the better off we will all be, you know. Because we can learn from each other, you know. We should be able to travel to Mexico or to Canada and vice versa. And what we're doing is now is that we're just making more enemies for us, you know, and making it more difficult. I'd like to be able to go to the Middle East, but I can't because I'm considered an American there. Yeah. Hate us because we're stupid, you know. And we don't, you know, and that's, you see it at the world level, but I see it here, right here where I live. That's what I was saying, that some of the people that move here, they come in with their views, their philosophy, and we have to change for them. They're not willing to meet us halfway. They're not willing to say, okay, maybe you might be right, or maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I can learn from you. But no, you know, and until we change our attitude, you know, we're going to continue in the same path we're going. I think it's a path of destruction, you know. And that's why when I look at history and I look back at what happened to Spain in 1492, you know, it's almost identical to what's happened in this country now, you know. They kicked out all the Moors and all the Jews. All the Sephardic Jews that were the businessmen that were really what was moving the economy there. And all the Arabs that were working the land. They kicked them out because they were not Christian. So what happened to Spain? It started to decay from the inside. From the inside out, you know, these people could not survive alone. That's why that book came about, because the people in Spain didn't know how to farm. So they had to find somebody that could write a book and tell them how to farm. You know, so a lot of those people ended up coming to the Americas. And we're doing the same thing here. You know, we don't want the migrants because they're brown, they're Mexican, they're not like us. You know, and so kick them out. And now what are we seeing? We're seeing that there's nobody to do the harvesting of the crops, to plant them. My son was saying that because he's a very good cook, you know, he was saying that a lot of the chefs in New York and some of the big cities are being also arrested and being deported. So some of the top restaurants in New York are closing, or they have nobody to cook. So we're being really stupid in this country, you know. That we're not sitting down and thinking, well, what are we doing, you know, what the hell are we doing by just kicking out everybody that's not like us, you know. And it's coming from people with money, and I think the media there plays a part, you know, because I see it. I hate Lou Dobbs, but I listen to him every day because I need to listen more to my enemies to see from where they're coming. And I can't believe the way they think and the way they see America, you know. And if America would be a la Lou Dobbs, we would be eating nothing but mashed potatoes and gravy. And maybe a little bit of meat, because that's America for them, you know. Only English would be the only thing spoken. And, you know, I think that the beauty about any place in the world are the different languages, you know, the different foods, everything, you know. In literature, the same way, you know, in literature, you can write great works of literature in all languages of the world. You can do great masterpieces of art, whether you are a Cuban, Española, Inglés, whatever you are, you can create, you know. But once they start putting us in compartments and saying, well, I'm superior to you and you stay there and I define your world, you know, then for me that's a way down, you know. That's a way of disintegrating the society, you know? And it's not only happening in Iraq, but it's happening right here in Embudo, right here in northern New Mexico, you know, that certain people that are coming in, and I'm not saying that all the new people that are coming in are that way, you know, but there's some elements within that they have that mentality of superiority and of arrogance towards the local people, you know. And they try a lot of times to create that conflict between us and the pueblos because they don't understand that our history now has blended. You know, there's a friend from here that Dr. Tomas Atencio, is a retired sociologist from UNM, but he's from here, that when he was growing up here in this community, that his dad would say that there were Indians here, you know, Indian pueblos, and that Tomas would ask his dad, well, what happened to the Indians? And his dad would point at himself, you know, aquí estamos, here we are, you know, and that's what we are, you know, that's what we have become. So when you don't understand that history and you try to drive a wedge between us and them, then what we're doing is creating problems, creating hostilities among each other, you know, and among the people that are moving in, you know, instead of trying to say, well, let's embrace what we have, and I also have something to offer because I come from a totally different culture and world, and I can also offer some things, you know, but let's learn from each other. If we don't learn from each other, we're doomed. We're doomed, you know, and that's whether it's in agriculture or in literature or in art or whatever, you know, we got to learn from each other, you know. I think nobody's that big or knows everything that we can't learn from one another. And hopefully this program will be something that people can learn, you know.
I hope so.